Please join me in the call to worship. The voice of God is calling, "Whom shall I send?"
We are here to answer God's call.
The voice of Christ is calling, "Who will be my faithful disciples?"
We are here to answer Christ's call.
The voice of the Spirit is calling, "Who will be a light to the nations?"
We are here.
Send us, we pray.
Let us pray. Your wisdom, holy mystery, is as fathomable as the deep, as alluring as the night sky. When all seem lost, call us from the wreckage of our lives. Grant us the ability and the will to hear your call and bless us with the grace to embrace your promised salvation. Help us face our fears that we might remain sure-footed on our journey of faith. Amen and amen.
Please join us in our opening hymn, number 400, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. Each had six wings. Two wings were covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with smoke." The whole temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King and the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me. May God add his blessings to the reading of this word.
We have our prayer time. And some of your prayer needs are on the bottom of this bulletin. And I know several at the other church this morning ask, and probably many from this congregation as well, for safe travel out on the roads. We've had some real winter weather this year, and one moment it might be clear, and the next moment it's not. So we want to pray for all of those that are traveling or out on the roads for appointments or whatever they need to be out and about for work and various other things. So please keep all of our traveling in prayer this week. Do we have other prayer needs this morning? Anybody have? Yes. Yes, honey. Oh, boy. Her brother has the flu, she thinks. Oh, yeah, that's not good. There's a lot of it going around, though. I know. Yes, your older brother. Well, we'll pray for him this morning that he gets some relief from that flu. The rest of you don't get it, hopefully. Yes. A lot of folks are sick out there, absolutely. So we want to make sure that we cover all of those places in prayer. Let's go before the Lord this morning. If you'd like to come to the altar, know that that's a wonderful thing to do if you care to do it. Let's bow together this morning. Heavenly Father, we, just as your scripture this morning, we are people of unclean lips. We live among a people of unclean lips. Unfortunately, we're more accustomed at times to spreading gossip than to singing holy, holy, holy. Yet we long to be made new and whole this day. And we ask that you breathe your Holy Spirit upon us and call us to follow you once more. As the disciples left their fishing boats, may we leave the comfort of our familiar shores. Work through us in the power of your Son, that all people may be brought to your glory. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with those today that are struggling with illness and flus and different influenzas that are going through. Lord, this is flu season in Michigan. So we pray that you will help in that situation. We pray that you will bless our time together this morning, few as we might be. Lord, we just pray that people are safe and in their homes. We pray, Lord, for your mighty spirit to be wherever your scripture is heard, wherever your voice is heard, Lord. For those that are listening on the radio this morning, we pray that you are blessed and safe and warm this morning. We pray that God's spirit is felt in your homes as it is here. In our sanctuary, may we be one together as we worship together. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, hearing everyone, for each of the unspoken needs in this room this morning. Lord, hear our prayers. Know our needs. And we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. We ask that we hear your words of wisdom and your direction from on high. We give thanks for you, Almighty Father. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Our New Testament reading this morning, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, is the Gospel of Luke. You can also follow along on the screens here, but if you're at home. Okay, we can do that too. Or let me read the scripture and then we'll go to the anthem. How about that? Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. And now let's hear this beautiful anthem from the choir, "Love Lifted Me."
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. As Jesus calls his first disciples, there are some things that I just kind of like to underline this morning. And then we're going to talk about what it takes to be fishers of people. First of all, note that the crowd is pressing in on Jesus. Did you remember hearing me read that to you? The crowd is pressing in on him to hear the word of God. They are hungry and they are eager to get as close as possible to Jesus so that they can hear every single word that he has to say. There's nothing more frustrating, is there? Some of you may have not as good of hearing maybe as you used to. I had some health issues that caused my one ear to not hear as well as the other one. And there's nothing more frustrating than being in a place that you are just straining to hear and you can't. And Jesus was very in tune with the hunger that these folks had for the word of God. And so he asked to be in the boat and to be shoved offshore just a bit, because we know that the water helps to make the sound a little bit louder, and he was able to see the whole of the crowd, and hopefully they were able to hear him a little bit better than when somebody's 2 feet in front of you and there's, you know, bodies masking the volume coming out. They were eager to hear God's word, and he knew it. And Jesus sat down to teach the people from that boat. He didn't have a pulpit. He used a fishing boat and the backdrop of the sea to be an effective place from where to preach. You may not go out in the world with a pulpit that you can pull out of the back of your car, but if you're a Christian, I ask that you please pray that God would give you some place from which to stand to proclaim God's word in a world that so desperately needs to hear words of hope, words of comfort. Unjudgmental ears to hear. Ministers are not to only preach God's word in their buildings, but to pray and preach God's word to their neighbors and friends. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ this morning, not just the fact that I am the one sitting up here, but each of you are as qualified, and each of you have words to share with people that again bring hope and bring the good news to the world. Note also this morning how Simon, as a professional man in his area of expertise, right in the midst of it all, being a fisherman, he knew the ins and outs of fishing. I can't imagine but what he learned it from the time he could walk, probably from his family. He was a professional man, and he knew everything there was to know about fishing. And yet, when Jesus said to put down your nets, he did exactly as the Lord asked him to do. And there was an extraordinary response to his obedience. There were so many fish that it filled both boats, and both boats began to sink because of it. Such is the power of Jesus' word. Then Look at Peter's response, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon Peter realized that the power that Jesus had displayed showed that he was holy, showed that he was Lord. He realized, in comparison with himself, he was a sinful man. It is a sign of God's work when we realize our sinfulness and then call out to God for forgiveness. And also, I mean, we know that we are a work in progress, and no matter where our standing is, no matter how many years you've found yourself in the pews of this beautiful church, or maybe in other churches you were growing up, you know that we are growing and learning every day about what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus shared his commission here with them. He said from now on, Peter would be catching men. As he uses our expertise and our many areas that we excel in this room, he uses those things to be able to share his good news with the world. He helps with whatever our background or skill set is. There's nothing that God cannot redeem for his good purposes. Fishing is a particular apt metaphor for evangelism. There's an art to good gospel work as there is to fishing. But whereas fishing for fish was taking fish from life to death, fishing for people is taking people from death to life. And finally, look long and hard at their response. They left everything. They left everything and followed him. It may well be that not all are called to this literally, though some are. Jesus tells some to stay where they are and witness to their own people. He needs people everywhere, doesn't he? Everywhere. And we are called to be those people. Surprisingly enough, when Jesus began his ministry, he went to two fishermen that he called to be his disciples. I read to you earlier from Luke. Now, Mark has some similar to say about this. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and the brother of Simon casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. It's to these fishermen that he said, "I need you. Come with me. Come follow me." It's probably a very intriguing statement to them, and over the next 3 years, this idea more plain and very, very real to them in many different ways. We know the road was bumpy for the disciples, figuratively and literally. How then is it possible? How can Christians today be fishers of people? To be a fisher of people in the simplest terms means, of course, this morning, to win people to Christ. It means that we must share the gospel and ask them if they want to receive it. Some you will be planting seeds. Some you may talk to and then never see again. It's amazing where those conversations come up without going in, even intentionally. I know that we had someone come to our house to do some work a few weeks ago, and they had a wonderful conversation that wasn't intentional, but something was said, and then something was said. You know how it works. And then it opens that door wide that you can share what Jesus Christ has done for you. and what he means to you in your life. A lot of times it'll come up when we're talking about living in the parsonage, and yet this is our home is Yale. We have our home in Yale where our son Joel lives and takes care of things. And they'll say, oh, you're in ministry. And then that will spur on a conversation a lot of times. So whatever your venue is, whatever your expertise is, you can use that to share about Christ. There's four things I want to share with you this morning, ways that we can make ourselves fishers of people. First one is to find where the people are. That's one thing our kids are going to learn in their confirmation class, if they didn't know already, that that's a John Wesley thing as well. We don't see people flooding the doors of our churches these days. It's been dwindling for years. It isn't folks' priority anymore to come in. We don't have days. Sometimes we have to work weekends. Sometimes years and years ago, we used to have a nurse in my one congregation, and her pager would go off. Nowadays, they just schedule people, whether it be the weekend or during the week. They're on call all the time. So we know that it's important. It's important that we go to where people are. And we do that when we go to school. We do that when we go to work. We do that when we go grocery shopping or when we're out doing business. Maybe we're going to the doctor's office. We go to where people are. You don't catch fish in a barrel. You have to go to where the fish are. It's true of this gospel. You need to go to the people. The good news is that there are people who don't know Christ all around you. I don't know if that's good news or not, but we have good news to give them. We have good news to give them to all the people that are around us, whether they have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ or not. Whether they've heard the name or whether they know their aunt goes to church and they heard their aunt speak about Jesus and they really don't know him as their personal Lord and Savior. You might even have people in your family who don't know Jesus. You might have a neighbor who needs to get to know Jesus. What about coworkers, friends? The list goes on and on. These are people that need to hear the gospel. Secondly, bait the hook and cast the net. We're talking fish this morning. Too often when it comes to sharing the gospel, we want to play the short game. We just want to go in and get out. We just want to share a little bit and then change the subject. It can be a hard conversation if you've ever tried to speak to someone, especially from your family. It can be a hard conversation. And it's hard to sum up, if you're like me, it's hard to sum up the thousands of things that Christ has done for you. And it's hard to just spit that out in two sentences. It might be the long game that you need to play here, that you need to remember how that works. While I don't know a lot about fishing, I do know that fishing many times takes a ton of patience. You have to sit. You have to kind of be quiet. And we're always laughing because Hollis is like, Easton, I know you want to go fishing, but I don't think you can be quiet that long. I just don't think it's possible. And we laughingly tell him that you have to sit really still. You have to be really quiet. You have to hold the pole, you know, without messing around. It takes patience. You can't rush the process. And usually if you're a good fisherman, if you are patient long enough, it pays off for you. I know if you've ever taken a walk down the boardwalk in Port Huron, there'll be a lot of fishermen out in the spring especially. And we'll be, if we happen to take a walk, and Easton's always eager to look in the buckets, you know, to see if there's one fish or if there's a bucket full. It's interesting. It's interesting because two people can be side by side, and one can have quite a few and one can have nearly none fishing in the same fishing hole. You can't rush the process. My point is, don't just tell those in your circle about the gospel and leave it there. You not only have to tell them about it, but you have to live it in front of them. Sometimes you can share the gospel without saying a word, by the way you live, by the way you act, by your compassion. Even when someone has just screwed up the worst that they maybe feel like they've ever screwed up in their life, having a listening ear and having compassion and helping people to know that Jesus Christ is there for them. You may see that person as family member or friend that you see every day, or it may be somebody in passing that you might not see again. You can't just give them the gospel and disappear. You have to engage with them on a regular basis. And as I said earlier, sometimes you're the one that plants a seed and the next person comes along. It's like, yeah, that's what I just heard so-and-so say. Maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe it's worth looking into and spending some time and patience seeing who Jesus Christ is for me in my life, in the place that I'm in right now, in the place that I work. Sometimes we even change jobs for a reason. I believe maybe our work is done in that one spot, and Jesus opens a door for us to move on and be with new people, with new opportunities to build his kingdom, as well as carry out a service for others. People are watching not just your words, but your actions, your attitude, how you interact with other people, your kindness, your gentleness, your patience, your love. These are things that are going to bait that hook. And they're going to draw people in, and they're going to have questions about how you can find joy in the midst of heartache and struggle or illness or whatever we happen to be dealing with and working with at that moment. There's this pastor that I heard these words, and they were worth me writing down because I want to remember them over and over again. This pastor said that a person is drawn to you before they're even drawn to Christ. Did you ever think about that? They're drawn to you first. What he meant was that who you are is what catches their eye first. And it opens the door to share Jesus with them because you make Jesus look attractive to them. And it brings them hope. This is the long game. Thirdly, catch them before you try to clean them. Isn't that the story of fishing? Sometimes we all feel that we need to be all cleaned up before we come before Christ, that all of our failures need to be gone and in the past, that all of the issues that we all work on, because we are a work in progress, need to be all rectified and perfected before we can come in. No, that is not the case. We come in to church knowing we need Christ, knowing we need a doctor, knowing we need to be repaired and melded back together in our brokenness that we might serve Him, that we might be effective in what we do as people of Christ. We can't expect people to live up to the standards that Christ set at the first hearing of Christ's name. Because even if we've been in these pews and in this church or in other churches for our entire lives, we still are striving to live up to those standards that Christ did set for us. All that's asked of us is to love them through the process, but recognize that the change in their life will come when Jesus comes for good into their hearts. I want to share a story with you today. John was a freshman at a state college near his home. He was surprised in his first quarter as a freshman to learn that the English teacher was actually a tenured professor who taught upper-level classes and was simply taking his turn to teach a lowly freshman class. John liked him right away. The professor was funny and relaxed, and he clearly loved to teach. And on the first day of class, the professor handed out the syllabus and told the class that it would be pretty easy to do well in his class if they did just two things. Just two things. Attend every class and get their assignments in on time. Now, he didn't say you had to ace the assignments each time. He just said you had to get them in on time. And he said, show up, right? Show up for class. When the first assignment was due, several class members didn't turn it in. And the professor didn't seem to mind. He didn't harp on them. He didn't nag at them. He didn't seem to mind. He did remind the whole class, though, how best to do well in his class. To show up and to get your assignments in on time. As the quarter progressed, John realized he was one of the very few students who attended every class and handed in every assignment. The professor kept the class lively and never said much about assignments or attendance. Second and third and fourth and fifth chances to do well were given, each time being reminded, you just have to show up and get your assignments in on time. Few took advantage. Finally, at the end of the quarter, John received the only A, and several students didn't pass at all and received Fs. Those who failed were very, very angry at the professor. It was all his fault. But he simply reminded them of his instructions on day one and of the multiple chances that they had to do well. And now it was too late. There's a lesson in there for us too, isn't there? Jesus says it's really simple, folks. It's really simple. I wouldn't make it too complicated so as everyone couldn't take advantage. I made it really simple. Fourthly, focus on casting the net, not how many fish you catch. When Christians are trying to be fishers of men, there's one thing that people struggle with. They worry about the results. Jesus says, I want to take that heavy and unnecessary burden off you today. There's nowhere in the Bible, at least none that I've found, where it says you are responsible. It just says, be obedient. Remember what he told us we needed to do, what? Love our neighbors as ourselves. He said, that's a big one, but so simple. Just to love your neighbor as yourself. You and I are responsible for sharing the message of the gospel with people. Quite honestly, there's nothing else you can do. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians that some will plant, some will water, but it's God who gives the increase. It's God who draws people to himself by the Holy Spirit. He simply uses us as a vehicle to plant and water. Let that be our focus. In fact, God will reward you for simply doing your part, just like the teacher story. Just do what is asked of you. I think it's safe to say that any good fisherman will tell you that you have no control over the number of fish that you catch. The same is true with the gospel. As you go out to be a fisher of men and share the gospel, don't worry about how many get saved. You can't control that. Worry about the nets that you throw, the example that you are, the way that you can give Christ as a precious gift to those around you. This is what Jesus wants us to focus on this morning. And just a final thought. There's one part of sharing the gospel that has nothing to do with fishing. When you think of how Christians can be fishers of people, this is one thing that sets it apart from just regular fishing. It's important that we talk to people about making a decision. Hollis's dad, when he was in his last weeks of life, the chaplain came in from hospice and we gave them some privacy and they were in the living room, we were sitting in the kitchen. But I could hear this man, and the first thing I heard him do was I heard them singing. I've never heard my father-in-law sing, but my father-in-law was singing with this chaplain. And I heard the chaplain say, have you made a decision for Christ? What a beautiful thing to have someone ask, because we really need to think about that. Have we made our decision for Christ? That's a question I'm going to be asking our confirmands when they are finished with their class. Have you made a decision for Christ? Because it is a commitment, a lifelong commitment to love and serve and honor him and do all of that. And by honoring him, it means we have to share him with others. In Acts 2, it says, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stood and preached the first gospel sermon. He held the first outdoor crusade. And he got to the end of his message. And here's what Peter did. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You never know where God's going to show up in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of a bustling street. And it might be one person you speak to And in this case, it was 3,000. They were invited and asked if they knew that Jesus Christ was there for them too. Remember that whenever you share the gospel with someone. Ask them if they've made their decision for Christ. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord, help us. Help us to fish for people, we pray. You say right here, Jesus, that when we follow you, you'll make us fishers of people. So we ask you today to do just that. Help us to look for people, to be intentional and working for other people to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Help us to pray for that end. Help us to share the gospel. Help us to share the good news of what you've done in Christ with somebody else today. Don't let us, Lord, go through our lives as just followers and not fishermen, not doing what you have clearly called us to do and commissioned us, set us apart to do. Make us fishers of people, and we pray the fruit of our lives will be many other people. God, may it be so in each of our lives. May there be many people who follow you because we've been intentional to fish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we can have our ushers come for our morning offering. Father, with hearts full of love, may our spirits sing your praise. As we bring our offering before you this day, bless us and these gifts, that we might bring your holy presence where it's needed most in the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is found on 251, Be Thou My Vision, 451. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Our benediction is responsive this morning, and following this benediction, I'm just going to say a quick blessing for the meal downstairs. Do not fear the turbulent waters of faith. Do not avoid the dangers of the deep. Do not doubt your ability to reach the lost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you will bless the time in fellowship for the lunch downstairs in Wesley Hall. I pray, Lord, that each conversation and each gathering will bring us closer to you each day, and that we will be able to share that love that you've shared with us, with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as our